You are now listening to Cloudy with a Chance of Awesome. Here are your hosts, Hayden Chase Kuzma and Benjamin King.
Hi, everybody. I am super excited about this episode. This is one that we did record back in 2023, but due to a lot of popular demand, positive feedback, and great insights from our customers, we are looking to re-air it. I hope you all enjoy. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Cloudy with a Chance of Awesome. We are so excited to have you all tune in. Today's topic is going to be pretty exciting. We're exploring purpose-built databases. With that saying, I'll pass it off to Hayden to kick things off.
Hey, everybody. My name is Hayden Chase Kuzma. I am an account manager here at Amazon Web Services, servicing small and medium business customers in the Arizona and New Mexico territory. I've been with AWS for just under 2 years, and I am based out of Seattle, Washington. Ben, we always start with this question. What are you drinking now? I got a Red Bull sugar-free, as I tend to have in these episodes. Everyone, please, put your drinks in the chat. We'd love to interact with you all. But Ben, I'll hand it over to you for an introduction as well, my friend.
Perfect. Thanks, Hayden. I'm an account manager as well. I'm working with small and medium-sized businesses located in Oregon, Utah, Montana, Idaho, and Nevada. So if you all are in that area, feel free to connect with me anytime. Always excited to, jump on a call and talk AWS. With that being said, I currently have a Coke Zero, just something light nice. And refreshing to, kick off a great Friday afternoon.
Absolutely, my friend. I'm glad to see that. So if you haven't joined us before, the purpose of Cloudy with a Chance of Awesome is a few things. And Ben and I really instated this live stream podcast scenario to give you access to subject matter experts that we have available here at AWS, really frontline access to them. So we invite these guests week to week to walk you through their best practices and some secrets they have here on our side of the business. Also, Ben and I want to share our secrets of small and medium business. We have a combined over 4 years of small and medium business experience working with customers, figuring out cloud solutions and ways they're innovating with AWS and modernizing and continuing to grow as a company. And then lastly, we want to give you, knowledge into the internal resources we have, whether that's funding programs, partners that may be a good fit for you and your company, or just ways to connect with your account team. So that's why Ben and I set this up, and we've been really enjoying having this live stream month to month. In today's episode, what we're going to do is we're going to go through and break down databases from an account level. What Ben and I are hearing with conversations with our customers and how they are using databases to reinvent how they conduct day-to-day. Also, we're going to go through how our customers are actually leveraging those services. Once they have the idea, what steps do they take to get in touch with their account team? What actual services are they implementing? So really cool session that Ben and I are going to provide some light on. Then we'll get into our favorite segment every episode, which is Kayla's Corner, where Kayla Jing, who's been a solutions architect here for just under 4 years, will join us and walk us through a topic that she is really excited to talk about today. And then lastly, our guest speaker, Corey Hollins, will jump on. He's a database specialist in the SMB space. He's been at Amazon for just over 2 years. And he's going to talk you through some databases at more of a granular level, and we're really looking forward to that. So Ben, I'm excited to kick this off, man. And the question that I have for you is, pretty basic. What are you hearing with your SMB customers regarding databases when you speak to them?
Oh, that's a great question, Hayden. I feel like there's two big themes going on currently, from what I'm hearing from customers. First is modernization. So many customers, for years, even up to decades, were utilizing, legacy databases. Now there's better technology. They're curious and want to see, hey, is there a way to migrate and really modernize our database? The second item that I'm seeing when it comes to the overall themes that customers have is definitely cost savings. There's so many ways that customers could save, especially in the long run, migrating from, legacy or on-prem databases over to the cloud. So I feel like from what I'm hearing, those are kind of the two main themes currently. How about yourself, Hayden?
Yeah, Ben, thanks for asking. And I like the one point you made in terms of modernization. Personally, when I'm talking to customers, it's really alluding to that aspect. Either they're looking to modernize their current environment, or they're looking to take their databases one step further. You know, AIML is a huge topic in my conversations. You know, how can we visualize some of this data that we see currently coming in? But like you mentioned, these customers have been in these environments for decades at a time, and being the first point of contact when they're looking to innovate and reinvent their current environment is always exciting, because I think of all the possibilities of what we can do with the sources that we have that I'm sure Kayla and Corey will get into today that allows SMB customers to perform at an enterprise level with their databases and what they do with their data. So that's what I'm hearing. A lot of customers, like I mentioned, to recap all that, are looking to modernize. If you leave the meeting today, just know modernization is something big that we hear for sure.
Yes, for sure. And kind of on that theme of modernization, one of the cool things that came out of the reInvent conference, there's many, you know, cool announcements regarding databases. You know, my favorite was a lot of great content and cool new items when it comes to DynamoDB. You know, if you don't know DynamoDB, stay tuned for Kayla's Corner, because there's a lot of great content there where we'll definitely go over all the database services.
Yeah, and I guess if you haven't really seen our reInvent episode yet, Ben, you know, definitely go check it out. We recorded that in January with Jake Wen. He was boots on the ground at reInvent. We covered a whole bunch of stuff around what was released at reInvent and how you can take advantage of the services released, and also how to get there next year. So definitely check that out.
Now, Hayden, I do have a quick question for you, sure. Right? I know a lot of SMB customers are always curious, you know, hey, are there partners that, you know, specifically work helping, you know, customers migrate databases or modernize? Curious to hear your thoughts there. Do you know of any good, you know, partners to support those efforts?
Yeah, great question, Ben. And this is a dynamic that I'm a huge advocate for. And it's getting on a call with a customer. We understand what they're looking to do. So let's just say looking to modernize their database. I take a step back and look at my bench, and I try and find the right player to put on the field here. And most of the times it's a MLogica or it's a DataVale. These are partners who specialize in databases. Matter of fact, I got off a call with DataVale yesterday. Something that neat that they shared is they have DBAs that will work with the customers to ensure a pretty smooth operation when it comes to databases. So a lot of SMB customers who lack that DBA component of their team and their bench, DataVale can supplement with their services. So really cool opportunities for SMB customers to leverage further with their databases through partners that I always love making the introduction for. And once again, just putting more ideas on that dream board and hopefully fueling their passion to continue to innovate and modernize. Ben, that's awesome. You know what? I think without further ado, my friend, I think it's a great time to bring Kayla Jing on the call here and really have her join us. So Kayla, once again, pleasure to have you today. And Ben and I always love this segment, but we'd love an introduction from yourself if you don't mind.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. This is Kayla. I'm a general solutions architect. I've been with AWS for a little under 4 years. I'm based in Seattle. And for the question of what I'm drinking now, today I'm drinking orange juice.
Nice, nice. Awesome. Kicking things off, you know, curious to hear, you know, how many different databases do we have currently on AWS?
Currently 15 purpose-built databases, and I'm sure we will make more in the future.
Okay, that's super exciting. You know, and I'm curious to get your thoughts here. You know, why do we need that many database services?
Yeah, great question. So developers today build highly distributed application requiring multiple database types to perform at scale. This is why AWS provides the broadest selection of commercial-grade purpose-built databases, allowing development teams to build and innovate faster for any application use case.
Perfect, perfect. And, you know, I guess from a customer's perspective, I'm looking to leverage some of those database services. You know, I guess my big question, you know, how would customers know which AWS database, you know, service is right for them with currently where they're at in their cloud journey?
Okay, for that question, let me share my screen so everybody can see how many databases we have here. All right, here is the AWS database, like the front page. So from here, if you scroll down, you can see all the database service here. Relational is the first category, which is the most common database tag. If you don't know all of your questions you are going to ask through your data, but you want to make sure that those responses are strongly consistent, and you want to basically put a constraint all the way down to the data type, then relational system is remarkable for this. This is where databases like Aurora and RDS fits. And then K-value databases are highly partitionable and allow horizontal scaling at scales that other types of database cannot achieve. For example, during the holiday shopping season, an e-commerce website may receive billions of orders in seconds. In this case, you can use DynamoDB to handle the scaling of large amount of data and extremely high volume of state changes while serving millions of simultaneous users through distributed processing and storage. In-memory database, as the name indicates, relies primarily on memory for data storage. In-memory data stores are designed to enable minimal response time by eliminating the need to access disk. Amazon Elastic Cache and MemoryDB for Redis are examples in this category. Then we have, think document as a category. It is a non-relational database that is designed to store and query data as JSON-like documents. Document databases make it easier for developers to store and query data in a database by using the same document model format they use in their application code. If they are familiar with MongoDB and they want to use something equivalent to that on AWS, then Amazon DocumentDB is the choice. Usually the databases support data types like numerical or string, but sometimes we need to put a collection or a list as the value into the database. This is when we need a wide column database. You can use the Amazon KSpaces in this case. It is an Apache Cassandra compatible database. And if you have highly connected data, for example, if you have a social media platform and you want to give recommendations to users who they can follow based on their interest, a graph database is a good tool to do that. You can leverage Amazon Neptune. It is designed to traverse nodes and edges. And then for time series data, like a vibration of machine, a door opening and closing, something being picked out of a bin, if you have IoT applications, you can leverage Amazon TimeStream. But some people may ask, if I have time step data in my database, does that make it a time series database? Not necessarily. So in a time series database, at its core, the single prime access of the data model can be one thing and one thing only, which is time. It allows you to optimize the whole stack. Time series database doesn't do updates, so it's append only. So it's very different than other system. And then, of course, ledger. The customer needs something that once they write into, no one can ever change it. Then they need a way to prove the data that has never been changed. This is what a ledger is all about. If you have that need, check out Amazon Ledger Database Service, also called QLDB. And I hope you can all find the right database for your business needs on AWS. If you have special needs that won't be covered by any of these databases, please talk to us. We want to learn your use case. All our AWS developments are driven by customer needs. We can probably build something for you if we don't have it already.
Awesome. Well, Kayla, thank you so much for the detailed breakdown of all our databases. I'm sure many customers got excited by just hearing the potential and probably applied those databases themselves. So thank you for joining us as always. Really appreciate it. Wonderful. So without further ado, folks, we have a guest speaker section as always in an episode, and we left a good chunk of time today to introduce and welcome Corey Hollins. Like I mentioned, he's a database specialist in the SMB space. He's been with AWS for just over 2 years. Corey, thank you for joining us, my friend. We would love a bit of a background about yourself, and thanks for hopping on.
Yeah, of course, Hayden. Thanks for having me. Very excited to join all of you today. I'm Corey Hollins. I'm part of the SMB or small to medium business org. I support the Northeast New Jersey, Massachusetts, and then the Southeast DC metro territories. I've been with AWS for a little over 2 years, 2 years, 4 months, and some change, I think. And it's been a phenomenal time. Prior to that, I had a little stint of military service. So I onboarded through a military apprenticeship program. So lots of change, but it's been very exciting, and being able to pour into our customers and be able to dive into their database needs, it's always exciting to explore.
Perfect. Super excited to kick things off. And Corey, once again, thanks for joining the show. We always start off the first question to our guest speakers. And, you know, I think this really is an important one, and it's really interesting just to get the different answers from each of our guests. But what does small and medium business mean to you?
That's a great question. When I first joined Amazon and hearing just the term SMB, I had no idea what it meant. And then I started engaging with our customers and seeing that it didn't necessarily mean small, medium sized companies. There's a lot of smaller startups that operate at enterprise grade level. So really it's such a vast community of different, customers and clients that have an incredible amount of different use cases. And we see so many different stories that they're telling with their applications and getting a chance to be a part of that and their growth and their cloud journey has been phenomenal. But I guess in short, SMB or small to medium business just means the greatest opportunity to grow.
Great answer.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. I think Ben, that's something that you say a lot too. There's a lot of growth potential in the space we work in, and we like to try and encapsulate that. So I deeply resonate. Now, Corey, I think it's time we get into the meat and potatoes of your job. Let's talk about databases, right? I think let's start from square one. I'd love to hear it from yourself. You know, what is a database? Why is it important? You know, let's break that down first.
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's something that I was asking myself 2 years ago when I started on this journey. And really how I kind of conceptualize a database, I immediately think of just our brains. A database is a place where we store and retrieve data. So the application, we also kind of refer to database as the heart of our customer's application, where everything is stored, everything's retrieved. You can't have an application without a database behind it. So it's tightly coupled with everything that they're building. And that's why there's oftentimes, changing or modernizing your database. But essentially, it's just if you can envision just a graph where you have different rows and columns, which is associated as a schema, that's where a database would be called, I guess, and what my description of that database would be.
Perfect. One question I hear from a lot of my customers, is the big why. Why should we move to, a managed database? Who is impacted? How does it impact the org? Curious to get your thoughts here, Corey.
Yeah, and that's a great question that I often deal with day in and day out when connecting with customers. Move to manage, and that's a phrase that we use quite often here in AWS. We have kind of identified with the pain that is normally associated with the day-to-day task of our DBAs. I work very closely with my technical counterpart who has 20 plus years of experience in various different fields and roles as being a DBA. And oftentimes he's telling me nightmares of the stories of just countless hours, just maintaining their infrastructure, just, pretty much putting out fires, trying to keep the lights on and keep things moving at a steady pace. And oftentimes what it takes up majority of the DBA's time or mundane tasks associated with, patches, OS level update, architecting for disaster recovery, automated failover, things like that. When you're self-managing a database, you're in charge of the whole picture. And when moving to the cloud, which is often, you know, a great first step for our customers to be able to kind of spread their wings and be a bit more versatile in their infrastructure, you know, self-managing, we want to kind of stray away from lifting and shifting. You might hear that as you're connecting with your account teams. We want to make sure that you're not lifting and shifting the current problems that you're facing in your current environment into the cloud. So what I see that often relieves a lot of that pressure and just allows them to be focused on just developing and serving their end clients is being able to automate some of those tasks. So that's exactly what moving to a managed database means, is you're automating a lot of those mundane tasks that you're normally spending waking hours just trying to make sure that they're, you know, operating efficiently. So things like your OS level patches, updates, you know, automatic failover, disaster recovery, you know, storage and things like that are all automated within our managed database platforms.
Yeah, and I'm curious, Corey, you know, this is something that I hear a lot is customers who see the value in like a managed database, let's just say, but they often say, I hear that change is scary, et cetera. You know, what are some myths that you hear? Because I'm sure there's a bunch of database myths out there. What are some that come to mind? All good. Ben, what kind of database myths are you hearing from your standpoint?
Are just... Oh, now it all of a sudden, it's like catching up to speed on me. So I apologize. Yeah. I might have some connection issues. But yeah, just some of the biggest fears that are associated with, you know, change of the database, I think really just starts with, you know, we've talked about modernizing. Modernizing often means change, and change is oftentimes scary. You know, a lot of legacy databases, you know, their code is deeply embedded and associated, you know, based off of their SQL language, and, you know, commercial grade databases such as SQL Server or Oracle type databases. Whenever they hear change and modernizing, that's countless numbers of hours that are associated with that change, re-architecting their schema, re-architecting their application code to make sure that it's working in unison with their database. And at Amazon, we've developed countless numbers of different tools, resources. We heavily lean on our partners that are very proficient at doing those exact things. So when talking about modernizing your infrastructure, it doesn't have to mean that your code won't work on Amazon. We, you know, as Kayla mentioned, we have over 14 different flavors of databases to choose from, but just often, you know, moving to a managed platform from going from a self-managed, you know, SQL Server environment over to RDS for SQL Server, just to kind of give your DBA some a little bit of room to kind of breathe, and then doing those code changes that might be necessary to, you know, save you some dollars later down the road by kind of ridding your licensing, moving over to an open source type platform like Postgres. And then we also have tools such as Aurora Babelfish, which is a bilingual tool that can also be used in unison with your modernization efforts to kind of reduce the amount of laborious effort and labor intensive type tasks with re-architecting your code. And you can almost plug and play your pre-existing SQL Server environment and operate it on an open source database that rids you of the licensing structure, but keeps your code the same, so you don't have to do too much changes.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I think, you know, something that comes to mind, and this is something, Corey, you and I talked about previous, is like OLAs come up, programs, et cetera. You know, how are we executing programs, leveraging partners in your space? And, you know, what does OLA kind of mean to you, I guess, is a good question there.
Yeah, I think OLA is just it's a great mechanism, you know, just to one, build trust as a team. You know, we often go into every opportunity that we get a chance to create something new with our partners, our customers. Really, you know, OLA, it stands for Optimization Licensing Assessment. So, you know, we talked about the commercial grade databases. So with SQL Server and Oracle environments, you have, you know, different tiers that are associated with different benefits and kind of special niche specific feature sets that fall within, you know, enterprise or standard edition, and those types of things. So, you know, especially in a time like we are in with the economic headwinds that we're all facing, it's a great mechanism that you can use to truly right size. We see, you know, hey, look, I have this environment, I have this instance size inside of Azure. What does that look like inside AWS? And it's not always an apples to apples type of comparison. You know, Amazon has their own in-house type, they're a little bit different than, you know, some of our competitors that we might have. And so, you know, we like to really lean forward on some of the tooling that really takes a look at your current database environment, collects some data and some metrics to really right size inside of AWS. So then you can possibly even downgrade from an enterprise level, you know, database platform down to standard edition that saves you countless numbers of dollars, but without sacrificing any of your performance. So we'll make sure that we run that through testing. And we have great partners such as Evolve, Centra, House of Brick. Those are all licensing specific partners that understand they breathe on a day-to-day basis the language of licensing. They're able to come in and do licensing exercise and just provide guidance that you might get, you know, different words from third party sources or from our, you know, competitors. There's lots of fear or what we like FUD that is associated with those types of things as well. And our partners have it at dispelling a lot of that and just really cutting down to what's going to be most beneficial for the customer.
Perfect. Thanks, Corey. Like, that's very insightful. I feel like I learned a ton. I know customers watching probably feel the same. I always like to wrap up with one last question with our guest speaker. You know, if you're an SMB customer, how would you apply what you learned today?
I think it really just starts with getting connected with your account team, you know, and leveraging the resources that are available to you. We have so many different resources at AWS that are just beginning when you get on the phone with your account team. Your account team is oftentimes we call the quarterback. They can kind of pull in different resources, different specialties like myself, where we can come and answer, you know, some of your in-depth questions that are related to your application. And if it goes beyond our scope of knowledge, we have product teams and service teams that go a bit deeper, and we can connect you with them directly, people that are actually building the technologies that exist within Amazon. It all just starts with asking the questions. You know, we have so many different resources, so many different partners that are experts at many different things. So again, just asking the question and just putting yourself out there to be a little bit less fearful of change and just realize that we're here to help. And we do value the partnership that we create each and every opportunity that we get to just to connect with our clients, our customers, our partners. And then often our competitors, where we get a chance to learn and be able to adapt different things that we see out in the field. So yeah, again, just lean in heavy and ask the questions, connect with your account teams.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you once again, Corey. Super excited. You know, once again, if you want to leverage the insights that you saw from Kayla or Corey today, feel free to connect with us. We can loop in specialists like this, you know, to answer any questions, give you technical documentation and help you get started. One big item, one big call to action. You know, once again, if you're interested in any AWS service, you could leverage a new program called AWS Kickstart. Essentially, it's a proof of concept credits up to $3,000 so that, you know, you could really get an understanding, hey, is this AWS service the right fit? You know, how does it fit into my current environment without necessarily, you know, putting up the capital out of your own pocket? So a great program to take advantage of. You know, if you're interested, feel free to connect with Hayden and I, and we can definitely get things rolling.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ben. And thank you, Corey, and thank you, Kayla. To wrap up everybody today, Ben and I will be featuring once again next month on our future episode here. We'll be taking a look into one of Ben and I's favorite funding programs, and that's our MAP funding program. So if any customers out there have some big plans for some innovation, modernization over the next 12 to 24 months, we have a program that is great for you. Once again, thanks for joining us, everybody, here at Cloudy with a Chance of Awesome, and have a wonderful rest of your week. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Cloudy with a Chance of Awesome. See you next time.